Mal ran to her mother, who was lying on the ground and not moving. Mal rolled her over carefully. Her face and uniform were covered in dirt and debris. She had a few scratches on her cheeks and forehead, but there were no major injuries that Mal could find, and it seemed as if the pressure door had shielded her from any large shrapnel. Mal placed her fingers over her mother's carotid artery and smiled slightly when she found a pulse. Her soldiers were not so lucky. Mal could see blood coming from a large wound in the first bodyguard's stomach. The other bodyguard's neck was twisted at an unnatural angle. They were both dead. Carter went to Mal and knelt next to her.
Is she alive?
No thanks to you.
Carter turned and scanned his followers, calling one of them over.
Nima, get over here!
The follower named Nima rushed to his side. She pulled off a pack from her back full of medical supplies and moved to treat Greta, but Mal blocked her.
Nima's a healer. Let us help her.
Mal moved back slightly, allowing Nima to offer aid. Mal glared at Carter, but Carter just smiled back at her.
Look at you. Always one step ahead of me. I knew you were special.
Special? What does it matter? You got what you wanted. Now you can take over Subterra.
Carter pulled back.
Take over? No, Mal, I want to leave this place. I have no desire to stay here or control anyone. I needed the weapons to get inside Eagle's Nest. They weren't just going to open the door for me.
Well, you opened the door. And now my mother might die.
Carter looked down at Greta, a troubled look on his face. Reyna quickly moved to a network terminal on the wall of the hangar.
More soldiers will be coming. I'm locking this place down.
Reyna punched in several codes, and the sound of doors locking automatically could be heard all throughout the hangar. After the last door sealed, Reyna turned to Carter.
Good, all secure.
Reyna turned and spotted Ace, who had been frozen in place since the explosion. She came at him quickly, two followers on her heels. Hazel wanted to attack, but Ace stood in front of her.
No, Hazel, no!
Reyna grabbed one of the followers' guns and pointed it at Ace.
Goodbye, bunker orphan.
No! No! No more killing! No more death! Not when we are so close to our moon!
Reyna lowered the gun and turned toward Carter. Everyone in the room looked at him.
Now is the time for us to come together. We are the founders of a new world. A world that will be built on love, not violence.
Not violence? Look what you did to her!
Nima will tend to her wounds, but now it's time for you to do what you promised.
No. I'm not doing anything for you.
Mal! Mal. It's time.
Mal got to her feet and glared at Carter. Reyna was right next to her, her cattle prod charged and ready. Carter moved toward the surface lift station. Reyna and the other followers were right behind him. Ace was shoved forward by a follower, and he marched along with them. Carter looked at the elevator in awe, his eyes traveling up the long shaft.
The Surface Express. It exists.
Carter turned to his followers.
I have brought you here, like I said I would. That is our transport to the sun. We will be healed!
His followers cheered. A few of them shouted,
"Praise our moon."
As the cheering faded away, they could hear another noise. It was a soft, rhythmic thud, coming from somewhere in the complex.
We have to move. They're trying to ram the door.
Carter turned to Mal.
Only a lock biochip can activate the surface lift.
No, I won't do it.
Without warning, Reyna grabbed Mal from behind and moved her towards the elevator.
Let her go!
This will only take a second, Mal. I want you to go with us. You deserve to see the truth.
I'm not going anywhere with you.
Reyna reached the console and tried to swipe Mal's arm over the scanner, but she fought back, struggling to get out of Reyna's iron grip. Mal could see Ace standing behind Carter. She made brief eye contact with him before turning back to Carter.
There's nothing up there.
Then we'll find out together. I want you to join us like we planned. You can still be healed.
Mal spit in Carter's face. He recoiled. Reyna grabbed Mal's arm again and twisted it until she cried out in pain. Ace took a step forward, but the followers were watching him and he couldn't intervene. Reyna forced Mal's arm over the scanner. A yellow light flashed 3 times. Then, nothing.
What's happening?
Reyna moved Mal's arm over the scanner again. Once more, the yellow light flashed, but nothing happened.
Why isn't it working?
I don't know. The chip should have activated it.
Then they heard a moaning sound. The healer, Nima, turned to Carter.
She's saying something.
Mal rushed to her mother's side and knelt down next to her.
Ask her! Why isn't the elevator working?
Mal leaned in very close to Greta's mouth. Her lips were moving, but there was no audible sound anyone else could hear. The ramming on the door was getting louder now, and the followers looked restless.
She knew you were coming. There's a code.
Find out what it is. Hurry!
Mal leaned down again. She smiled at Greta.
Mother, I'll come back for you. I promise.
Reyna pulled Mal back and sent her toward Carter. Mal glared as she passed him and went to a keypad on the exterior of the lift. She waved her arm near the keypad, activating it, then punched in the code her mother had whispered to her. A red light flashed twice, and then there was an electrical humming as if a generator was powering up. Reyna punched another button, and the doors to the lift hissed open. A blast of dank air wafted out of the lift cabin.
A moon be praised. Our salvation is near.
Reyna was still holding Mal, who continued squirming and struggling.
We have to take her, whether she wants to go or not.
No! No, I am not leaving my mother!
We don't know what is up there. We might need her chip again. And if things go sideways and the soldiers come after us, we can use her as a hostage.
Carter smiled and put his hand on Reyna's cheek.
Reyna, you think in ways I cannot. Bring her.
Carter stepped inside the lift. It was very large and had a high ceiling. It had to be big enough to carry the various war machines up to the surface from the hangar, so it could easily accommodate Carter and his cult. They all stepped inside. Reyna muscled Mal on board the lift. Mal tried to struggle, but her arm was pinned, and Reyna had all the leverage. Ace entered, trying to stand as close as he could to Mal. Hazel tried to follow them into the elevator, but Ace held up his hand.
No, girl, you can't come.
Hazel stopped, cocking her head at Ace in confusion.
I don't know what's up there. I won't be able to charge your batteries. You have to stay here.
Hazel tried to take a step towards Ace, but he knelt down and put his hand on her chest, pushing her back. His voice was soft, and emotion swept over him.
You can't go. You have to stay. I can't take you.
Hazel finally sat on her haunches and stared at Ace. He stood up and felt Carter's hand on his shoulder.
You are doing the right thing, Ace. We will be your family now.
Carter saw tears in Ace's eyes and was moved by the emotion. He pulled out his small metal canister. He flicked a lever on the canister and a fine aerosol mist appeared. Carter closed his eyes and breathed the gas in. He held in the gas and then let it out with a blissful exhale. Carter laughed as a euphoria swept over him. The other followers began to chant softly. Once inside, Raina pushed a large circular disc on the wall. The doors to the lift shut. A loud alarm sounded and a series of rotating yellow lights began to pulse inside the cabin. With a jarring thud, the machinery engaged and the lift slowly began to rise. More lights switched on as the lift ascended, casting the cabin in a vibrant green light. As the lift picked up speed, the followers began to chant louder and faster. Ace moved away from his captors. They didn't seem to notice as he walked over to Mal. Mal's head was hanging, and she seemed to be staring at the reflection on the steel deck of the flashing yellow lights. When Ace grabbed her hand, she looked up and turned to him. He could see her eyes were wet with tears. The chanting was building, with Carter joining in and moving amongst his followers, whipping them into a manic state. It's gonna be okay.
My mother might be dead, and it's all my fault.
Hazel is with her. The soldiers will get inside soon and take her to a doctor. This seemed to offer some comfort to Mal, and she managed a smile.
Take off your goggles.
What?
Take them off. I want to see your eyes.
Ace hesitated, but Mal was still looking at him, her eyes clouded from tears of guilt and regret. Ace slipped his hand up to the back of his head and unlatched his optics. He slowly pulled them up and off of his head. Mal reached out to touch his cheek and said cryptically,
Just what I thought.
What? She just stared at him, saying nothing else. What do you see? But she didn't answer. Instead, she reached down and held his hand for a moment. Ace's breath caught in his throat as he locked eyes with her. She squeezed his hand. Just then, the elevator stopped. The chanting also stopped. Ace and Mal separated, hands pulling apart, just as the door slid open. The first thing Ace saw was a symbol on the wall. He whispered to Mal, What does it say?
We're here. The surface is just beyond that blast door.
Carter ran outside and stood in the large pressure chamber. He ran along the length of the thick blast door. Small portholes covered in filth and residue were lit up by a pale orange glow.
Come out and join me! We are close, brothers and sisters! Just beyond this door is our salvation! We will breathe free air! We will be healed!
Mal turned to Raina.
That door hasn't been opened in over 20 years.
Shut your mouth.
Whatever you're looking for, you're not going to find it on the other side.
Raina took Ace's optics goggles from him and slipped them in a pouch slung over her shoulder. Then she grabbed Mal by the wrist and yanked her towards her crooked, creepy smile, then whispered so only they could hear.
I said shut your mouth or I will kill him. You know, he's helpless without his bot or his goggles. Maybe I'll just let him wander around on the surface, completely blind, until he dies of hunger.
The fight left Mal, and she fell quiet. Mal pointed to a console at the far end of the chamber. Carter stepped up to the main door console and put his fingers around a lever. He took a deep breath, then pulled down. More lights started flashing, blue this time, and a deafening, pulsing alarm drowned out Mal's screams. An unseen power source came to life with an electric hum. Gears turned, a lifter engaged the blast door with a solid metal thunk. The sound of air pierced the pressure chamber as the blast door ratcheted slowly upwards. Red sand snaked under the door as the gap increased. Ace, without his optics, stared at the widening gap. All he could see was a growing orange glow and the blurry shapes of Carter and Raina near the rising door. Raina was still holding Mal in her grasp. A hot wind invaded the chamber. To Ace, the warmth felt pleasant and inviting. Carter spun around and bathed himself in the dry gusts of air, but he had still not stepped out of the cabin, though the door was high enough to let him pass. Ace used his other senses, as his eyes were only seeing fuzzy images. The wind carried a smell on it, a smell that made Ace recall the scent of the fire-blasted ash in Hell's Gate. He turned his head to listen. Hidden in the cacophony of the shrieking wind and the celebrating followers, Ace could faintly hear something else. It was Mal. She was talking to herself softly, but he couldn't make out what she was saying. Another loud metallic thud startled everyone, and there was silence. Just the wind knifing into the chamber. The blast door was fully retracted. The opening spanned over 20 meters in height. Carter stepped up to the threshold of the blast door. He looked out into the hazy orange mist. Raina moved to Carter's side, still holding Mal captive.
Close the door! We're gonna die! Please! Close the door!
Carter turned to Mal.
We will never die. We will be healed. When you see the sun, you'll love me. You'll see. We will all see.
Carter stepped out onto the red sand of the surface. He took hold of Mal's hand and pulled her out with him. Ace watched as Carter walked out of the pressure chamber, pulling Mal along with him. Raina followed slightly behind them. After a few steps, they disappeared from Ace's view. The other followers started to file out slowly, their eyes glazed over in wondrous anticipation. Ace was all alone in the elevator. He watched as the last of the followers disappeared through the orange haze beyond the pressure door. He was frozen. This was his lifelong dream, to finally be free of Subterra, but he couldn't move. As close as he was to his goal, he was too scared to take the first step. He heard someone calling out. They were shouting, but the shrieking wind almost drowned out the words. It was Carter.
Join us, Ace! Ace, join us!
Ace took the first step. He got out of the elevator and crossed the large pressure chamber until he stepped across the threshold. He was finally leaving Subterra. As soon as he walked outside, it got much brighter. He looked up but couldn't see the sun or the blue sky that he had hoped to see after reading Dog Plays Fetch. All he could see above him was a mass of low-hanging orange clouds swirling and shifting in the hot wind. He thought if he walked a bit more, the clouds might eventually disperse, so he kept going, following fresh footprints left by Carter and his followers. Ace could see that they were in a canyon, and he could make out rocks and boulders. He paused to look at one of the rocks. Somehow he could see fine details without his optics. He swept his eyes up and scanned the area, amazed by sudden improvement in his eyesight. He reached out his hand, letting his fingers touch the walls of the canyon. A wave of emotion came over him. Everything he had ever wanted was coming true. He was free. Then he heard something, loud voices, shouting. Ace ran. As he turned a blind corner on the trail, he heard the voice more clearly and stopped, taking cover behind a boulder.
Where is it? Hamoon! I have come home! Show yourself!
Ace crept forward slowly until he finally spotted Carter, Raina, and Mal standing on a wide ridge high above a desolate valley that was partially obscured in a thick fog. There were no trees or anything green. Wisps of orange dust clouds crawled across the landscape. Ace looked up. The sky was washed over with the same orange vapor, but there was one spot directly overhead where the light was brighter than anywhere else. The rest of the followers were gathered at a distance as they screamed to the sky. Ace could see there were tears streaming from Carter's eyes. Carter put his metal canister directly over his mouth and inhaled. He stumbled slightly as he bellowed at the sky.
All I ask for is guidance, Amun. I am your servant. Tell me what to do.
Carter was quiet for a moment, then started mumbling to himself. Then his lips stopped moving and he cocked his head as if he was listening to someone. He nodded his head sharply, as if he had received an answer only he could hear.
Oh yes, my lord. Amun demands a sacrifice. Amun demands a sacrifice! Amun demands a sacrifice!
Carter turned quickly to face his followers. Ace ducked down to avoid being seen, though with Carter's eyes filled with tears and the thick haze that surrounded, he doubted if Carter could see him at all. Ace peeked out to watch.
Who among you is worthy?
A follower stepped forward. Reyna led him to the edge of the precipice. Carter looked up at the scudding orange clouds and shouted,
Amun! This man gives his life in your honor!
The follower stepped off the rock and fell from view. His scream faded away until only the wind could be heard. A brief moment passed and Carter looked back up at the sky. There was no change in the hazy veil.
Is that not enough?
Carter wailed in frustration, then took another long inhale from the canister.
Is that not enough?
Reyna spoke up, but her words were broken by a choking cough.
Carter! The girl! Give him the girl!
Reyna took Mal by the wrist and dragged her towards Carter. Mal tried to struggle but couldn't break free.
Can't you see? There is no sun god. He's crazy.
Mal started coughing also. Ace looked at the followers and noticed that they were all struggling to breathe. One of them had gone down to a knee and was trying to wipe the tears from his eyes. Another follower dropped his weapon, hands clutching at his throat as he made a retching cough. Reyna grabbed Mal by her shoulders and walked her to the edge of the cliff.
No! Don't! Amun doesn't exist! The air is poison! We're all gonna die!
No! No, not when we give him a pure death. From a pure soul. Amun will only show himself after you give your life to him. This is your destiny. It's you. It's always been you.
You're insane!
Reyna muscled her closer to the edge. Mal screamed.
Help me!
Ace broke from his hiding place at that moment. He sprinted towards Reyna and Mal, moving through the followers that seemed to be disoriented and didn't intervene. They were all shuffling around like zombies, staring up at the sun, wheezing loudly, struggling to breathe. Ace pulled something out of his pocket. It was Mal's fairy hairpin. He stabbed Reyna in the side of her neck with it. Reyna immediately released Mal, who fell to the ground. Reyna clutched at the hairpin buried deep in her neck. Ace's mind flashed back to the moment with Mal in the pressure chamber, the moment she held his hand. She had slipped him the hairpin in that exchange without anyone noticing. Reyna pulled it out, and bright arterial blood sprayed out of the wound. She clamped her hand over her neck, blood spilling through her fingers. She turned and locked eyes with Ace. Her other hand reached for her cattle prod, but before she could raise it, she stumbled backward and pitched over the ledge. Gone. Ace turned back to help Mal, but Carter was holding her.
Let her go!
Ace? Ace, you're here!
Let her go!
Ace quickly glanced at Mal. She was holding the sleeve of her shirt over her face and breathing through the fabric. Carter took another long puff from the metal canister.
I will let her go. And she will give her life to Amun, and he will appear. Isn't that what you wanted? To see the sun?
There is no sun. We'll all die if we stay up here. I believed that there would be something up here for me, a better life, but it's not true. It was all just a dream. I know that now.
Carter let go of Mal and looked back up at the sky.
She must be sacrificed. We can stay here forever. We can bask in a moon's warm embrace for all eternity. If she dies.
That's not going to happen.
Carter moved toward Mal and pushed her over the edge. Ace dove after her. He was able to catch her arm and held onto her wrist. Mal was dangling below him as he strained to pull her back up. Ace looked back at Carter, thinking he might push them both over, but that thought was soon put to rest. Carter screamed and fell to his knees. He wiped at his eyes with orange-stained fingers.
Oh, my eyes! Ah, they're burning! Oh, Moon, where are you? Show me your son! Let me see your son!
Ace pulled Mal up, her head clearing the ridge. Carter's hands shot to his throat as he gasped for air. He turned toward Mal. She could see blood dripping from his tear ducts. He keeled over and fell face first onto the rock. Ace pulled Mal up onto the ridge. She crawled toward Carter and found the gas canister in his pocket. She clamped her mouth around the nozzle and activated the canister, breathing in the oxygen mixture. She'd have to risk whatever mind-altering chemicals that were also in the gas. Ace turned back and saw that the followers were all down, either dead or close to it. The ones that still lived were convulsing and struggling to breathe. Ace crawled to Reyna's pouch, which had fallen in their fight, and pulled his optics goggles from it. He was about to put them on, but realized he could see without them. His vision was perfect. He looked around for Mal and quickly spotted her. She was lying next to Carter, who was still face down. Ace pulled Mal toward him, cradling her head. He could see that she was breathing from the gas canister, but her eyes were shut. He helped her to her feet and started to take her back the way he had come. It was hard work. Mal was nearly out on her feet. Ace was struggling and realized it was harder and harder to catch his breath. He kept moving, and when Mal couldn't walk anymore, he picked her up and carried her. Ace was suddenly bathed in bright light. He looked up and saw the orange clouds part. Through the gap, he could see a patch of bright blue sky. He squinted his eyes as he stared at a round disk in the sky, partially shrouded by atmosphere but still shining through. Ace knew. He was looking at the sun. And there was also something else up there. He saw something, a sleek glinting shape, moving across the sky, but too high to make it out clearly. He shielded his eyes to get a better look. The shape changed direction, and with a burst of speed, disappeared behind one of the thick orange clouds. Ace heard Mal cough and kept moving, knowing he was running out of time. As he crossed the threshold of the pressure chamber, he was wheezing. He took Mal over to the control panel and placed the chip inside her arm on the sensor, triggering the door. The light started flashing again, and the alarm pulsed loudly. The blast door began to lower with a ratcheting, clanking noise. In seconds, the door was closed, replacing the shrill sounds of the wind with silence. Ace wasted no time in getting Mal inside the lift cabin. Ace inhaled and realized it was a little easier to breathe now. Just as he was about to activate the lift, he heard a sound from the blast door. He walked over and peered out one of the portholes. He jumped back as a face appeared in the window. It was Carter. Or at least Ace thought it was Carter. His face and hair were covered in orange dirt. Dried blood had crusted around his eyes. His mouth was open, but he wasn't screaming. He was trying in vain to suck in air. His lips were covered in a frothy pink foam. Carter seemed to stare at Ace, but Ace wasn't sure if he saw him or not. His irises had gone white. Then, Carter opened his mouth, and Ace could hear a muted scream.
Praise the moon!
Then Carter fell away from the porthole, and the pounding noise stopped. Ace went back to the lift, but it was a struggle. His head was spinning. He pulled Mal over to the lift controls and once again pulled her arm close enough so the sensor could read her biochip. The lift doors closed and he could feel them begin to descend. Mal stirred and propped herself up against the bulkhead. She pulled the gas canister from her mouth and dropped it at her side. She opened her eyes and saw Ace there, leaning against the control panel, holding onto some conduit with his right hand, his left hand clutching his optics. She opened her mouth to speak, but all she could manage was a croaking, hoarse whisper.
Ace, we're going back down. You're safe. I saw your eyes.
Ace tried to take a step toward her, but his body betrayed him and he fell to the deck. He tried to focus on Mal. Her pupils were fully dilated. She had a blissful look on her face and she was smiling at him. Ace tried to speak, but a great fog came over him. All he could think about was Hazel, waiting for him back in Eagle's Nest. Everything went black. Ace could hear noises. Someone was speaking, but not to him. They seemed to be speaking to themselves and were spouting scientific terms that Ace didn't understand. He also heard electronic beeping. He slowly opened his eyes and could hear the beeping noise quicken in pace. He looked around, but nothing was in focus. Everything he looked at seemed covered in a layer of gauze.
You're awake.
Ace turned to the source of the voice. He could vaguely make out a man in a pale blue coat. The voice sounded familiar to Ace. It sounded like Mal's uncle. He was holding a recording device in front of his mouth. He looked down at his watch.
Subject has regained consciousness.
I can't see.
Ah, sorry, I have it right here.
Ace saw Tomas grab something from a bench and bring it over to him. Tomas put the optics goggles over Ace's eyes, then put the strap in place behind his head. The optics powered up with a whirring sound. The room slowly came into focus. Ace looked around and saw he was in a bed. The room was full of equipment and medical gear. He looked to his right and saw Mal in a bed similar to his. Her eyes were closed. A mask was over her mouth and a long hose was attached to an oxygen tank on the wall.
Is she okay?
She'll be fine. Another second on the surface and her lungs would have been irrevocably damaged by the chlorine gas. You're both very lucky.
Where are we?
Winter Garden sickbay. How do you feel?
Tomas picked up a medical instrument and scanned Ace. It hummed as he waved it over Ace's head and chest.
Fine, I guess. How long was I out?
Not long. Half a cycle. After that Darva bot opened the doors, we were able to get in.
Ace lunged forward.
Hazel!
Tomas stopped him and gently made him lay back down.
Easy. She wouldn't leave your side, so I switched her off just to be safe.
Tomas indicated a spot below the bed. Ace leaned over and looked down. Hazel was there sitting on her haunches, but completely motionless, her eyes opaque.
It was very stubborn.
She is very stubborn.
Yes, she.
Can you power her on? I want her to know I'm okay.
Later, perhaps. So you said you feel fine. No soreness, no shortness of breath?
Mm-mm. I've got a headache. But it's not too bad. I feel okay.
The damage to Mal's lungs was mitigated by the Arpin gas she breathed in. It's an oxygen-based stimulant, but the secondary chemicals coat the lung bronchioles for a short time for absorption of the drug into the bloodstream.
Ace just looked up at him as if he was speaking a foreign language.
But she's going to be fine, just like she was, right?
I think she will, but There was no sign of any arpon gas in your system. So tell me, how did you survive that exposure?
I don't know.
No, something else is at work here. You lived in the Barrens?
I was born there.
Interesting. When you were on the surface, was your vision impaired?
Ace thought about being on the surface. He remembered how clearly he could see things. Then he remembered seeing the strange object in the sky.
Your vision. Could you make out any details?
Ace didn't answer right away. He was still thinking about his time on the surface. Memories were coming back to him in quick flashes and bursts. I saw something in the sky. It was flying.
Hallucinations are common side effects of extreme chlorine radiation poisoning.
I know I saw something. It was there.
Easy. You need to rest for now. By the way, I scanned you for a chip.
Ace suddenly fell silent. He noticed movement out of the corner of his eye and turned to look at the door to the room. Through a pane of clear glass, he could see two sentries from the waist up, posted outside, moving back and forth, talking to each other. The hair on Ace's arm suddenly stood up on end, and his mouth felt very dry.
Why are they here?
I'm sorry, Ace. Those men are here to arrest you.
Arrest me? For what?
For opening the airlock to the surface. And for kidnapping Mal. I believe you're innocent, but they say they have evidence.
Ace tried to move his arm, but it caught on the bed. He looked down and saw a metal circle around his wrist. It was chained to the rail of the bed. He pulled it again. The metal clinked and he couldn't break free. He was trapped. He pulled harder, but it was no use. Tomas picked up a hypodermic needle and injected an amber fluid into a tube that fed into Ace's hand.
I don't want you to get too upset, so I'm giving you something to help you relax.
Ace suddenly felt very warm, and his vision started to blur. He tried to speak, but his words were too hard to form in his mind.
What is going to happen to me?
I don't know. I really don't. But, Ace, you're going to face the magistrate in High Court at New Braemar Castle.
Ace tried to hang on, but his world was fading to black. He tried to move his hand, but it was caught against the restraints.
Fairies? Magical creatures?
Tomas responded as if he hadn't heard Ace at all.
Everyone is talking about it. It will be the first trial we've had in Subterra in over 70 years. You're going to be famous. Or infamous.
The last thing Ace heard was the clinking of his metal restraints as he tried to pull himself free from the bed. Then everything slipped away. No more sight. No more sound. Only the rise and fall of his chest as his breathing slowed. Then, just nothing.
Subterra. Written and produced by Steve Kruger and Warren Davis. Performed by
Marty Yu,
Cece Boyce,
Tamara Pennington,
Hugh Fink,
and
Kyle Bornheimer.